California flung open the doors a week ago, marking a major turning point in the COVID-19 pandemic. Oregon is getting close to its target of a 70% vaccination rate, which would trigger a similar reopening of most activities. The White House announced this morning that the country will not make it to 70% by the 4th of July, the target date President Biden had set. But COVID cases are down across the country. Dr. Jim Shames is the medical director at Jackson County Health and Human Services. He joins us now to resume our regular visits to discuss COVID-19 topics and answer questions. Welcome back, Dr. Shames.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Glad to be here.
So I'm looking at the county charts here, the Jackson County charts. The week of April 18th, the case count was 324. With one burp, there was otherwise a downslope to 88 cases the week of June 6th. Is it woohoo time yet?
I think it's kind of woohoo time. I think we need to keep our focus on the parallel population that is unvaccinated and still at significant risk. But, we are doing well. We're heading in the right direction.
All right. So if there is a parallel population still at significant risk, does that present risks for the vaccinated population at some point down the road?
Well, that's possible. I mean, we don't, it's hard to know what the future holds. But at this moment, the vaccinated are pretty well protected and can, kind of go about life pre-COVID pretty much. But I just think it's important to remember that those that are not vaccinated that walk among us are really carrying most of the risk that we're seeing in our data. And that that for those of us who are vaccinated, we are pretty safe at the moment.
All right. So let's see. Jackson County dropped finally into the moderate risk for the first time in that I can remember, actually, last week because of the drop in cases. There's the other situation with Oregon having to have some numbers match up, and I have an email here that already reflects some. Confusion about this. Tyler wrote in and says, I'm seeing a potential conflict on the Oregon Health Authority's language. On one hand, OHA and or the governor seem to be clearly saying that the current statewide mask guidance will be lifted once we hit 70% vaccination. But on the other, they're saying individual counties need to reach 65% to move to lower risk. Is there a scenario, Tyler asks, where statewide mask guidance is lifted, but certain counties are still required to have mask guidelines similar to the current ones?
My understanding is that once the state gets to 70% of those over the age of 18 having gotten at least one shot, that the whole state will no longer be adhering to the risk categories. And I do think that 65% with an equity statement has been a little confusing. But my understanding is now that we're at 68.7% of the state on the aggregate getting vaccinated, that very shortly we will hit that 70% mark, and that 65% number will kind of go away and not be relevant. That's what I think.
All right, you said 65% with equity. What did that mean?
Well, the way the state has set it up is if you want to join the 70% club and you get to 65%, if you can produce a document that will show the state how you plan to deal with the disadvantaged populations, the people that need to get caught up, traditionally people of color and those who live rurally and people in poverty and that sort of thing. If you can show a plan for how you plan to address that, then the state would consider moving you into the lowest category. It's now become sort of a document that the state uses to help you address whatever deficiencies you have in the county.
All right, to make sure you've got a program or a plan in place to make sure that the underserved populations are getting vaccines.
Right.
There was actually more to Tyler's email that I didn't get to. I'm going to put this in here, too. Tyler says, I'm asking not only as a curious citizen, but also as a manager of retail staff who've been enduring the extra stress of policing, in quotes, our customers' mask usage. Oregon is apparently getting very close to the 70% goal, as you pointed out, 68.7 as of yesterday. And I'm needing to make business decisions in preparation for guidance changes. That from Tyler. I don't know what town he's from. So it's, have you gotten some I don't know if you get much traffic from people locally or if that goes to the OHA, but the idea that they have to, I was in a store the other day, it said, even if you're vaccinated, we want you to be wearing a mask. That is just what we're doing.
So the director of our environmental health division is the go-to person for business-related questions like that. And he deals with them all the time. And we, you know, we all meet as a group regularly. So we do have somebody that is knowledgeable that can deal with those questions. And so I don't, you know, I'm not as proficient in answering those as he would be. But yes, businesses, even when we open up and you can go in and out of businesses unmasked, businesses, I still believe, have the option to ask those who are not vaccinated to be masked. But I don't want to be misleading on that because I'm not exactly positive.
All right, but you know, talking about businesses post-pandemic makes me wonder, particularly when getting into the environmental health realm. I don't know how much you're a party to these discussions, but what is envisioned that you're aware of in terms of things like whether plexiglass shields will stay in place or the X's on the floor keeping people 6 feet apart, any of that stuff?
I don't think so. I don't foresee. I mean, there's still some details about what opening up is going to look like, and they sort of trickle out of the governor's office. Mm-hmm. So I haven't really sat down and looked at all of it to see, you know, kind of what the future is going to hold. But I don't think we'll have the plexiglass and the X's on the floor. I think there'll still be some struggle around exactly which situations and who has the right to sort of ask people to be masked. And that's mostly going to be in a crowded indoor environment.
All righty. Dr. Jim Shames is our guest once again on the Jefferson Exchange from Jackson County Health and Human Services, the medical director, joining us to answer our questions about COVID-19. There is still a pandemic, although, yes, we can see definitely some light at the end of the tunnel. Questions, comments from you, things you have observed as with things open up again. Join us at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. The fact that the White House says, as of this morning, the country, all 50 states, are not going to hit the 70% rate that Oregon is trying to get to and is very close to at this point. But when you're looking at the Oregon numbers, 68.7, it feels like, oh, we should be there by tomorrow. And I think the last projection I saw was maybe by the end of this week. It might take another 4 days or so at the current rate. But does it feel like we're like slowing down as we get closer to the finish line?
Yeah, we absolutely are. Yeah, we keep putting out projections based on, you know, whatever current rate we have, and then we have to adjust them. So I think earlier the prediction was that we would hit that number by the 21st of June, and we're just vaccinating at a slower and slower rate as the people that are highly motivated to get vaccinated have been vaccinated already. So our work's cut out for us, but you know, every day we vaccinate more people, so we're definitely moving up. It's just moving more slowly.
About how many people get vaccinated in Jackson County any weekday?
I don't know that number. When we had the the larger clinics at the expo, we sort of tracked those numbers on a daily basis, but that still didn't account for pharmacies and other clinics. Mm-hmm. But using that as a benchmark, you know, you could really watch the numbers just kind of go down day by day, week by week, mm-hmm. you know, so that a capacity of, you know, well over 1,000 people, you know, toward the end was just seeing, you know, 100 or 200.
All right. So at this point, there is just one component of the clinic at the Jackson County Expo still open. Is that right?
That's right. So Public Health moved their Moderna vaccine clinic to Moderna and Johnson & Johnson vaccine clinic to the expo because we had a big flood event at Health and Human Services.
Oh, right.
And then, once the building is back, we'll probably move that clinic back.
All right. So at this point, there is still a walk-in available out there until the 28th. Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. That's right.
All right. And then that moves back. So basically everything will be back in-house at Jackson County Health and Human Services in downtown Medford?
I believe that's true. I haven't talked to the individuals that are actually running that clinic, but I think that that's the plan to go back to the home office. Because, mm-hmm. It's hard to take all the staff and move them away and have the supplies, off-site, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. There was extra help there, too, from FEMA and a couple of other entities, wasn't there?
Yes, there was a lot of help from a number of sources. We had, support from Providence and some other healthcare folks volunteering their time and giving expertise. And then we had the Department of Defense folks from the FEMA site.
So there was it sounds like when that thing first opened, there was quite a burst of energy, but that did tail off indeed over time, didn't it?
Yeah, well, when FEMA comes in, they just come in like a bulldozer. they have so many resources, and they're prepared for everything and redundancy, and so with all of that, they're a remarkable entity, and they've certainly done a lot of good in our community.
All right, so outside of Jackson County, and we're talking globally now, we've got the Olympics coming up in Japan. I mean, international travel increasing. I know they're going to be limiting the local audiences in Japan, but international travel is increasing. We got even cruise ships making voyages again. It seems like there are many more opportunities for people to come in contact with one another. Are you confident that trying to limit a lot of these activities to people who can prove vaccination that will reduce the opportunity for COVID to start spreading anew?
Well, if in fact we were assuring that we would prove vaccination before folks would do certain activities, but that's not really going to be the case. I mean, Governor DeSantis, for example, successfully was able to prevent the cruise industry from mandating proof of vaccine, for example. So I think that there will continue to be spread, and it becomes a risk-benefit analysis. And as we do the risk-benefit analysis, just understanding that those who have been vaccinated are very much on the benefit side, and those that haven't been vaccinated are going to lie very much on the risk side. So looking at it from a societal perspective, the unvaccinated are continued at significant risk of spreading the disease among themselves, but at pretty low risk of either getting from or giving to somebody that's been fully vaccinated.
Dr. Jim Shames, our guest once again on the Jefferson Exchange, Medical Director at Jackson County Health and Human Services. We're going to be doing these Q&As less frequently as time goes on. You're welcome to join us right now on the Exchange with your questions or comments about the conduct of COVID-19, both the pandemic and the vaccination part of it. Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. 70%, okay, that's a figure. It's a figure to reach for, but it is actually a fairly low figure compared with the levels we seek with things like measles and pertussis. I mean, so this would seem to leave a window open a bit more than with some of those diseases that COVID-19 could find its way back.
Yeah, that's right. Excuse me. Yeah, we're not talking about 70% of the population. Mm-hmm. We're talking about 70% of those over the age of 18. Mm-hmm. I think our overall vaccination rate in Oregon, fully vaccinated entire population, it's somewhere around 50%. It might even be less. Mm-hmm. So, we have a lot to do in that respect. Diseases have different levels of infectivity. So, measles, for example, is extremely infectious, highly communicable, and it needs well over 90% total population vaccination rate to prevent spread of measles. COVID is not quite quite at that point, but it does seem as the variants continue to be developed that it is increasingly infectious over time, so that it sort of keeps upping the ante for what kind of rate of vaccination we need to protect the entire population. But no, this isn't this is not going away, and vaccine remains are clearly most effective strategy, so that getting people to understand the dynamics, getting them to accept vaccination as a safe and healthy alternative is really a lot of the challenge at the moment.
Yeah, and you're right about the overall population numbers. I was surprised when I was checking some state figures today that California, despite its reopening as of a week ago, is under 50% in total population covered by vaccination. So on target there. When you were talking about the variant, the Delta variant, for example, is believed to account for something like 99% of new COVID cases in the United Kingdom. But we also see that apparently some of the vaccines, Pfizer in particular, seem to do pretty well against the Delta variant. It seems like the issue then would be down the road, if we let COVID-19 stick around long enough to keep getting transmitted, it'll get into new variants that the vaccines don't cover.
Right. That is a risk. Yeah, as long as the disease is spreading among any of us, really worldwide for that matter, then the more likely it is for the variants to just keep being churned out, and we don't know what the characteristics of those variants will be. But it is possible that even though we've been lucky so far and produced very effective vaccines that still are effective against all the variants, that may not be the case over time.
What do you make, we have a minute left here, but the source of the virus and all that is swirling around that with the recommitment from the president a few weeks ago to get the intelligence agencies to spend 90 days looking at it. Lab versus animal spread, thoughts on that?
Well, who am I to have thoughts on that? But I do.
Of course. That's why I ask.
I think the evidence is that this did not come from a lab leak. And there's many reasons for that. It has to do with the characteristics of the virus itself on a molecular level. And that we were so surprised. Who would have thought that a virus with that configuration would be causing harm, and yet it does. And so scientists would have been unlikely to have created that. The scientists who work in China are well known to the scientists in this country. And, for them to have created this huge illusion that no one saw through, with these healthcare professionals, it seems unlikely. I don't think this is a lab-caused disease, but it would be nice to have more transparency, that's for sure.
Okay. I appreciate your sharing your opinion with us, particularly starting with the who am I to have an opinion on this, but I do. All right. Dr. Jim Shames from Jackson County Health and Human Services, the medical director. Thanks for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
You bet. Thanks for having me. You